This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 310 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
How goes it, my friend?
Oh, it goes. How about yourself?
Oh, it goes round and round, up and down. You know how it is.
Sometimes.
Yeah? Just sometimes?
Sometimes I know how it is. Sometimes I ain't got no idea.
Well, I mean, we all just do the best we can do, I guess. Can't ask for more.
Nope. So, excuse me. So we're on a time crunch tonight.
A little bit, but we can do it.
Oh, I'm sure we can. But we've got a few things to talk about. We were off last week because I had the COVID and wasn't really up for talking. But we're back now. Tuesday night, May 24th. And we're ready to talk about some stuff and things.
Yeah. So the reason why we're on a time crunch is my wife wants to watch the finale of This Is Us, which is tonight.
Which is titled Us.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of This Is Us, we got two episodes to talk about, I believe.
Yep. Family Meeting and The Train.
Yes, so I just want to go back to say how heartbreakingly sad the Miguel one was.
Yes, it was.
It was awesome. But I fully expected when we came back that, well, he's not on the show anymore.
I mean, kind of briefly in The Train.
Yes, briefly in The Train, but like in Family Meeting, so Rebecca in the past is taking care of the babies.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack's really not seen a whole lot, if I remember correctly.
Mm-mm.
It's just her and the kids and just basically through the years.
Yep.
And how she treats them each differently.
Yes.
And then we're in kind of in the future and or we're in the current times. Well, actually, I'm going to say it's the future because it's right after Miguel died.
Right.
And they're getting together to discuss what they're going to do and how they're going to do everything. And of course, you know, Kevin wants their mom to stay there and Randall wants her to come live in Philadelphia with them and et cetera, et cetera. And it's funny because you have Sophie and Beth, like not really mocking, but imitating them, how this whole meeting is going to go as they're down at the cottage together.
And pretty well.
Oh, yeah, pretty spot on. And Philip is kind of the opposite. He's like, well, you know, he's like, it's great that, like, I guess I haven't been in the family long enough to know this, but, like, I would like to think that this is a serious scenario and they're going to take care of it seriously and this and that and everything. And
right. He's like, their mother is about to die. They're trying to decide what to do. This is heavy stuff. And you're just mocking it. They're like, yeah, we've been in this family long enough, dude.
Yeah, I've been in this family well over 30 years. This is just, you know, how you got to deal. It's interesting because, like, they're all, like, in the previous episode when Miguel dies, and other episodes, whatever, in this one, like, Madison's there with her husband and her and Kevin's kids, and then Madison's son with her or child with her husband, Elijah, there. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Kate actually called because Kate is because basically we see how Kate is treated by her brothers through the years where like they always are sticking up for her or, you know, like Kate is a strong and powerful woman who's smart and has this like lesson plan. She's taking around the world to help blind kids with music and this and that. But yet around her brothers, she becomes meek and mild and takes a back seat to them.
Right.
And it's funny because she calls Toby to talk to him, and he basically reminds her that, hey, by the way, your mom is the one that put you in charge, and you are smart and brilliant and great. And that's kind of what happens. The next day, you know, Philip has to talk with Beth about, oh, hey, mom's got to move in with us. And she's like, of course. Uh-huh. But then the next day, you know, Kate's like, no, mom's coming to live with us so we can take care of her. Because she can't stay here by herself. Kevin, you can't fly back and forth. Randall, you're way too busy in your elected office to be able to actually take care of mom. But then yeah. Kevin kind of, go ahead.
I was just going to say, she puts the smack down and says, nope, this is why she put me in charge. I'm running the show.
Yeah, and Kevin flips the switch and goes, well, actually, Sophie and I have talked about it. And yeah, we're going to move here. Because I, you know, like, essentially, Kevin, who was it that tells Randall that Kevin, like, basically, I think, I don't know if it's his wife or somebody tells Randall, like, Kevin is not who he was. You have to stop looking at him like that.
Yes.
And Kevin basically is like, I have screwed up everything all my life, et cetera, and I need to be there for mom, and I'm going to do this and make it work. Mm-hmm. So he's going to move in. And it's funny because they're like, well, no, you can't be away from your kids. And Madison's like, actually, we've all talked about it. We're going to move here, too, because the only reason why we were staying in California was because of Kevin.
Right.
And we don't want to be there anyways. So that's hilarious to me. Like, Kevin and Sophie are going to move to Rebecca's house or wherever. And Madison and Elijah and the kids are all going to move as well.
Uh-huh.
And then we kind of see more progression of time. Nikki and Edie are living in that other cabin. Nikki doesn't seem to age at all.
At all.
But they're living in like the original cabin, if you will. And I don't know how much time passes, but years pass essentially. And it ends with Kevin calling Randall saying, hey, they don't think she's going to make it through the night. You need to get here now.
Yep.
And then we get to the train. Oof. And all right. So what did you think about this? They introduced this new family that have the bad car crash.
Dumb.
And Jack, the night Jack dies, he runs into the dad and he's like, oh, you know, I crashed the car. My son's in surgery, this and that. And Jack's like, yeah, he'll be fine. You know, like my house caught on fire tonight. Just got everybody house out in time. I'm just here getting checked out, you know, maybe run some tests, but et cetera, et cetera. The doctor that's taking care of the kid from the crash is also taking care of Jack.
The kid codes.
The kid dies, they bring him back, and then Jack dies while he's working on the kid.
Well, don't forget, Jack also imparted that lemonade story from the other doctor who delivered the babies.
To this guy, and then we see his kids in the future as they're older, because they kind of almost imply that Deja and this kid Marcus are together.
Right.
They imply that. Marcus has got a limp and a cane, and he's some brilliant doctor. And then we see at the end, like, he's being honored for his discoveries of Alzheimer's treatment, which he discovered trying to find a cure for cancer. He discovered this treatment for Alzheimer's. Which, right. So anyways, it's just like, why do they introduce his family? Maybe they're going to take a part in the final episode. I doubt it.
The only connection that I saw there was the whole he is being honored because his medicine – you know, helps with Alzheimer's, and that's what happened with Rebecca.
And Rebecca's dying from Alzheimer's. Exactly. So, yeah, I just don't see.
So Jack died so that this kid could live so that he could, I don't want to say cure, but advance the cure for Alzheimer's. It seemed like a stretch, and for it to be in this episode, like the second to last episode, it really seemed like a stretch. Like if we had been following them this whole season, maybe I would have been like, oh, cool, we're paying out. But
yeah,
this was like shoehorned right in there.
Let's see. Oh yeah. So Rebecca is essentially on a train, right?
Yep.
And it starts with her as a kid and her dad taking her on train rides when he would work on the weekends. He'd take her on the train in the city, and they always wanted to go on a cross-country train or whatever. So we see Williams there kind of leading her through from car to car, and she sees like Beth, but she hears Beth talking. So essentially Rebecca's in the bed dying and everybody's talking to her.
Yep.
And that's what we see on the train, her going from car to car, but she's waiting for someone. She's waiting for someone, and who she's waiting for is Kate, who mm-hmm. was in England for her job. And apparently it's 2032.
Yep.
But she sees Dr. K, she sees McGill, all the family saying goodbye to her. You know, we have Kevin and so Kate, like, so the next morning, Kate shows up, Rebecca's still holding on, and essentially like, oh, now that Kate's there, she can let go. And like Randall does a big speech thing and they all say goodbye to her. And yep. She lays down in the bed of the caboose and Jack's next to her. And then we get credits.
Yep.
It was sad.
Oh, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was sad.
You know, people always talk about like your life flashes before your eyes, you know, when you're dying or something like that. In this case, she was, like you said, traveling backwards through the train, being led on. The people that she had touched their lives were connecting with her and talking with her. And so she was able to, you know, hear their words and get that moment of peace in each case. And, you know, it was an entire lifetime that we've seen this woman. And, you know, so yeah, it was heartbreaking to watch her basically taking her last walk.
Yeah.
I thought this was the finale, and it would have been a beautiful finale to leave it right there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because realistically, I mean, I get it, like, you know, Rebecca dies, but like, you know, we also got Deja telling Randall that she's pregnant, he's going to be a grandfather.
Right.
And we find out that Malik is the baby's, is the father.
Yeah.
And that they've been dating. There. Yeah. So, yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was good. Like I said, it could have easily been, because the first episode starts with the birthday of the triplets, you know, and we start with Rebecca and Jack. And this would have been a great bookend. I'm sure that the actual finale will be a great bookend as well, but this would have been perfect in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. The first episode is the birth of the triplets. The last episode is the death is Rebecca's death.
Yep. So. Seeing her lay down next to Jack one last time, boom.
Yeah.
End credits.
That could have been cool. Yep.
So tonight, like you said, is the finale. It's called Us.
Yep. I have no idea what it's about because I don't really watch spoilers, if you will.
Me either. It's one nice thing about not having cable and not being able to see commercials.
Yep.
So I'll recap a couple of shows that I don't think you're watching.
All right.
Because like I said, you know, I've had time on my hands with COVID and Julia being, she was especially sick, but, so we watched four episodes of Doctor Who, which were four of the best ones in the, Martha Jones era, which was Human Nature, The Family of Blood, Blink, and Utopia.
Mm. Blink. Excellent. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, as I was coming in here to record tonight was the finale of Utopia and the first time that he says, I'm the master. And I hear her out there in the living room go, what? What the hell is going on? I'm like, yep. Two episodes left with Martha. And then I rewatched / she watched for the first time the first season of The Flight Attendant, because now there's a second season out there.
Yep.
So when I first watched The Flight Attendant, I had said it was very weird the first few episodes, and I didn't know if I liked it. And by the end, I really liked it. I love this show. This was great. Watching it the second time, it's so well done. It's so beautifully done. The filming style that they use where she's inside of her head a lot, it's really amazingly done, and it definitely is worth a watch. I don't know if the second season is going to hold up. We haven't started on that yet, but I definitely give a hard sell to at least the first season of The Flight Attendant.
I did watch the first season.
Okay. So you like
the plot? I just, no, I struggled.
Oh, okay.
I didn't care for it.
That's right. That's right. You did watch the whole thing, though.
Yeah, I just didn't care for it.
Gotcha. Okay. So, yeah, I'll be watching the second season coming up here. But this was a good, like, binge over a couple of days. We also watched the first season of Made for Love, which was that one with Kristen Milioti, her and her tech genius billionaire husband. He invented a chip that goes in your head, and couples get it put in their heads so that their brains merge and they both have the same thoughts, the same everything. So they are two people, one mind.
Yep, I remember seeing that.
The first season was good. I will say that. I can't wait to see what happens in the second season. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely all about trauma, abusive relationships, and it's got some humor to it. They're only half hour episodes, so they're easily digestible. I'd give it a sell for sure. Unfortunately, I cannot give a sell to the 6-episode season that I watched of The Pentaveret, the new Mike Myers Netflix show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Watched all 6 episodes. Cannot give a sell to it. A lot of dick and fart jokes, a lot of dicks. It was much more raunchy than most Mike Myers projects. And in fact, they even make jokes about that because, like, they break the fourth wall and they'll talk about how Netflix is letting him get away with stuff. And then they'll, like, cut to a Netflix executive and he's like, yeah, we're going to rein him in. Let's go back and redo that scene without any of the swear words. And then it's even worse because it sounds like blowjob jokes. And yeah, I can't give this a hard sell.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but it's definitely not something that you're going to come away from it like, yeah, I feel good having watched that. The same can be said for, I don't know if you realize this, but on Amazon, they just rebooted The Kids in the Hall.
And I did know about that. I just haven't watched any of it yet. But
I've watched like the first 3 episodes. Yeah, I've watched the first 3 episodes, and the good thing is that they're definitely embracing the fact that they're all old. Like, they're not, you know, they put on wigs and stuff like that for their skits, but they are embracing the fact that they're old. Like, one of their skits is 60-year-old men as strippers. And everything is basic. Like, they bring back some of their classic characters, but they're like, boy, we've been gone for like 30 years. And there's an actual story behind it that, you know, Brain Candy finally broke even. So now the curse is lifted and the kids can be dug up from the ground. But it's okay. Like, again, just like with The Pentaveret, because it's on Amazon, they went full raunch. And in the first episode, you get to see two of them fucking buck naked, junk out. And then even to the point where cops are like, all right, jump up and down. And they're bouncing up and down and dicks are just flopping in the breeze. So they definitely went a bit harder core. It's okay. It's not, I was hoping it would be better, but
yeah.
And then I think the only other one that I'm watching that you aren't is The Staircase. Have you started watching that one?
No, I have not.
Okay, there are 5 episodes out now. We're all caught up. It's really good. I'm waiting until it's all over before I get, you know, Julia has info dumps for me about the real case and the real things that happened. And so I kind of want to know about that, but I'm waiting until I've seen the whole show. But it is definitely not a documentary type. Like, it's based on real events, but even when they show footage, like, you're following a documentary crew who's creating the documentary about this, they don't show the footage from real life. They show the footage from this show. So it's all contained inside this. It is a complete dramatization. It is not a recreation or, you know, a documentary.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think everything else we watched together.
Let's see here. So I have not watched any more of Halo.
I'm all caught up.
Yeah. Oh, you are. Okay. I'm behind.
Okay.
Because I just wasn't making it a priority to watch.
Yep.
I did finish Stranger Things seasons 1 through 3.
Ready for the fourth one?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. We're 3 days away from the return. So, like, the return is this week. It's the first half, and there's, like, 4 episodes, and they're, like, an hour and 15 minute apiece. And then the second half of the season gets released in July. And there, I think like three episodes, three of the episodes average like an hour and a half. And then the final episode is 2.5 hours long. So it's like, they're like, oh, you like movies. Here they are. Here's 8 of them.
Uh-huh.
I remembered the majority of the show, but ultimately it was a great refresher. There's a lot of little things I had forgotten, and the episodes went so damn fast. Like I watched it way, way faster than I anticipated.
Really? So,
yeah, I got through it a lot faster than I anticipated that I would.
Now, were you fully paying attention, or were you just like background for some of them?
No, I was fully paying attention.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was fully paying attention. I wanted to make sure that I was keeping an eye on things the way I was supposed to, if you will. So.
Did you pick up anything the second time through that you feel like you missed the first time, or was there anything like, oh, I forgot about that?
There was a lot more of like the finer details is what I forgot about.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There was a lot of like finer details that I had forgotten about. And it was just like, oh, that's right. Or, oh, okay. Yup. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But yeah, it was, and then there was other things I had forgotten about that. I was like, oh, that's right. That was funny, or that was good, or whatever. Like Dusty's girlfriend at the end, where they sing the Neverending Story theme song together.
Yes.
Like that was
fun.
That was better than I remember it being, if you will.
And you loved that the first time.
Oh, I did. Yeah. And I was like, oh, like I didn't forget about it, but I just kind of like forgot. Oh, yeah, this is pretty dynamite. Awesome.
Nice.
So, yeah. So I've caught up on that. We'd already talked about the finale of Picard, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. The Connors finished up.
Okay.
It's a show. I mean, I enjoy it. They did a little thing at the end of the episode where they kind of showed you like stuff that was hanging on the walls on the set currently that was there in the original run.
Oh, nice.
So that was kind of neat little Easter eggs, if you will. It's coming back for a fifth season.
Wow.
So the show's making it, you know.
Yeah.
We've completely finished Ghosts.
Oh, love that.
So, we talked about that previously. Yes. We did. Yeah, yep. We did. But we
completely the termites finished at Ghosts. The end.
Yep, the termites at the end. Yep, sorry. The Rookie, that's the other show that finished up that we both watch.
Are you ready to talk about this?
Oh, I might as well. Mine as well.
So I thought maybe I had a stroke or maybe like I missed something. Like I thought maybe I passed out during part of this episode and missed a whole chunk of it and had to go back. Yeah. And I hadn't. And then I went online and looked up, you know, comments and reviews. And no, I wasn't the only one who was baffled because this episode, first off, was complete horseshit. Like, this was one of the dumbest fucking episodes.
Which one are you talking about? Because we have two episodes to talk about.
I'm talking about the finale.
Okay, all right, okay. Because I actually enjoyed... Because you remember Nolan had to go to the border, basically, as his punishment from the union rep, so he's going to miss taking the TO exam?
Uh-huh.
And then he got his brother showed up, and his girlfriend went with him, and...
That
was
the finale.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh my God, that was the finale.
Yeah.
I thought for some reason in my brain. So did we talk about the Mother's Day episode then?
No, the Mother's Day episode was before that. And then Day in the Hole was the one where he goes to the border.
Okay, for some reason, I thought that was two separate episodes. When he went to border and the whole Bradford doppelganger, Chen doppelganger business.
Yeah.
I thought that was two different episodes. Oh my God, I disassociated my brain.
See, that's what happened to me. Like, I disassociated it too. I was like, did I miss something? Because honestly, like, we'll get into it in a minute, but honestly, that storyline, Dim and Juicy, disappeared. Like, it stopped halfway through.
Yeah, it did just disappear, didn't it? Like, we never really got a culmination of it. I mean, the show's been renewed already for another season, but we never got a culmination of that episode. And the previous episode to that was like, you know, oh, they were going to Bradford and his girlfriend were going to Hawaii, and everyone's like, oh, she's expecting you to propose. And Bradford's like, I'm not proposing. She's like, I didn't think you were. Well, everyone seems to think that's what's going to happen. So then he fake proposed in front of Lucy, who was like all like maybe jealous about it all. Anyhow, I apologize. Again, I dissociated those two storylines in my brain. Please keep going, because I love seeing Alan Tudyk.
But see, that's exactly the point, is that that episode was so broken. Like, a lot of the comments were like, did they seriously just let all the writers out of the room for this? Was there no producer? Was there no director? Because, like, the Mother's Day episode was a normal episode. It was actually pretty good. You know, Sergeant Gray is like, hey, you know, I want you to be a TO, so I'm going to ride with you, but be prepared because, you know, there's word that the president of the union is not happy with you and he's going to try to do something. But they basically, you know, they have a typical excuse me, episode. You know, it's Mother's Day and Nyla's not going to have her daughter because her ex-husband is, you know, pulling a power play. But then her ex-husband's mother is like, no, she's a mother. You're going to let her see her daughter. And she brings the daughter out and she's like, Nyla, we can be friends. And, you know, they get a touching moment. So it's like a normal rookie episode. Then this one, it was almost as though they thought that this was going to be the series finale.
Yeah.
Because we brought back, like you said, Nolan's brother, Alan Tudyk's character, Sarah Rue's character. Like, we brought in all these old characters that have been in there a couple of times that were fun characters. And, you know, of course, Nolan goes down. He's sent down to the border, and it's a dusty little town where nothing ever happens. But, of course, because he's there, something happens. And they pull over a guy, and he happens to be a drug runner who – then his people are going to come to break him out of jail. And, you know, it was ludicrously over the top, but it was the rookie. So you expect some of those ludicrously over the top until
you do.
What was it? Like 10 guys show up with fully automatic weapons, stand outside of the diner / police station, open fire with all of their fully automatic weapons to mow down everybody in there. Mm-hmm. And then storm the place by coming in one at a time without weapons.
Yep.
So that Nolan and Tudyk can punch them and knock them out.
Yeah, because their boss is in there. So they came in without weapons because of their boss.
Yeah. Yeah. That was horseshit. And
I'm nodding my head. Yeah.
Yeah. it was by rookie standards, it was ridiculous. And the rookie is already ridiculous in a lot of things. But by the rookie standards, this was fucking jumping the shark. And of course, they resolve it. They arrest everybody, you know, bring peace to the world. And everybody says, oh, yay. And that's it. The episode ends. And you're like, great. Except that there was an entire other fucking story going on that got zero mention, zero anything, which was that they found this guy who Chen's roommate, the girl, finally got her own car. They open up the trunk and it's filled with heroin. So they trace back. Yeah. So they trace back the owner of the heroin or the owner of the car last. And it's this guy who basically is Tim, but in, you know, greaser and tattoos and stuff. So it's the same actor. So they're like, oh, you've got a doppelganger, but he's dumb. So we'll call him Dim instead of Tim. And so Tim goes undercover as him.
It is kind of funny they called her Dim.
Yes, it is. Until they took the joke too far, because he goes undercover. He's supposed to just find the people who had the heroin. But then they're like, hey, we want you to do another job tomorrow. And they're like, oh, let's have him do another job and see where that goes. Oh, bring your old lady along because she's the best getaway driver in the world. Oh, who does he happen to be dating? Lucy's doppelganger, who is all tarted up and with cornrows. And so they decide to call her Juicy. So we've got Dim and Juicy instead of Tim and Lucy. And then it looks like we're moving somewhere because, you know, they're going to go undercover together as a couple. And then they have the, you know, well, we should probably like kiss so that, you know, we don't look awkward when we're doing it. It won't be our first time. And, you know, which was basically just the writers finding a way to get these two to finally kiss.
Yes.
And they finally kiss and the roommate comes in and makes it awkward, you know, a la 80s sitcom. And but that's where we leave it. Like, they never go undercover. We never get to see the results. We never get to see what the operation did or where they went or anything. It's just like they forgot about it. They were like, oh, we got them to kiss. There we go. That storyline's done. This episode made me angry.
And it was funny because when it was over, I was like, oh, okay, so there's got to be another one to wrap everything up. Like, is Nolan going to make it back to his TO exam? What's going to happen to this new girl? What's happened with the other kind of – oh, no, that was it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just fucking it.
Yeah, it threw me off.
Yeah, me too. It
threw me off.
I'll still watch the next season, of course.
Yeah.
I still like the show at its core, but holy crap, dude.
Have you watched are you caught up on Strange New Worlds?
I've watched the first three episodes. I don't know if that's fully caught up or not.
Okay. As a whole, what do you think?
As a whole, I fucking love it.
There's only three episodes, by the way. The next episode comes out in a couple days.
Okay.
I absolutely love this show. Like, the first episode, and again, I didn't want to ruin it, so I know I didn't talk about it, but, like, they discuss Discovery a little bit, you know, because, like, they had to violate a prime directive because this planet got warp core technology, but they didn't develop it themselves. They kind of captured it from the outer space or whatever, and they made basically nuclear bombs with it. And they got this because of what happened in Discovery when Discovery zipped to the past.
They watched it happen in the sky.
Yeah. So because of that, like, the Federation, like, because Pike and company specifically violated the Prime Directive. Or, well, it wasn't called the Prime Directive then.
It's called Rule One or something.
Yeah, General Order One.
Yes.
Which is now called the Prime Directive by the end of it. They renamed it. They violated
general. They're going to call it the Prime Directive. I don't like that name. I'm like, that's awesome.
But yeah, they violated General Order One by making contact with the civilization and telling them about them, other races, the Federation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And then literally dropping the Enterprise into the atmosphere.
Yes. Because they're like the guy with the biggest gun wins the type of thing. And so the Federation can't do anything about it because in order to punish Pike and company, they would have to acknowledge the existence of Discovery.
Right.
And they can't do that.
But this was what was interesting to me was that it's basically Pike, his first officer, and Spock were the three that were sworn to secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Admiral is like, you don't know how many things I had to do in order to unlock this and find out what happened with Discovery. I'm like, the fuck you say? Like, the whole point was that it was not supposed to be recorded anywhere because that technology could never show up. Like, it's never shown up.
Right. Right. But apparently that was the end of it, though. You know what I mean? They're not going to acknowledge it again after that.
Right.
And instead, in episode two, we get Uhura, Cadet Uhura.
Uh-huh.
The, communications officer there. And then we get Kirk's dad.
No. Kirk's brother.
Oh, it's his brother?
I had to look that up because I was like, that must be his dad. And I'm like, no, Samuel wasn't his dad. And apparently that is Kirk's brother.
Okay, so I've never known of this character.
Yep.
But what I liked about the next two episodes, The Children of the Comet and Ghost of Alera or whatever, was it was standalone Monster of the Week stories. Mm-hmm. You know, we got introduced to some new characters, the doctor on the ship, his assistant, if you will. Like you said, the new security officer, Uhura's there. Being the communications officer, getting her feet wet, just really everything between the two. I love it. I thought it was so, so good, both episodes.
Yes, absolutely. it feels like a classic Star Trek, you know, whereas Discovery, one of the biggest complaints that we had, which then turned into an okay, was that it was a whole overarching story, basically like a movie played out over several episodes.
The one thing that's haunting Kirk through these episodes is he in Discovery when he saw his own death. Not Kirk, Pike.
Yes.
So that is bothering him. Yep. But then he's kind of like, well, then like he learns an episode, a lesson in one of the two episodes about not dwelling on not to dwell on it and just to live his life.
Right.
And, you know, just see what comes of it, I guess.
Yeah.
I kind of almost wish they just wouldn't acknowledge it, so it wasn't kind of looming over your heads and everything, because see, for me, what's going to happen is Pike's going to get put in peril and he might die. But I'm like, oh, no, because he saw a vision. He doesn't die for 7 more years or 8 more years. You know what I mean?
Right. Or if they keep using it as a plot hook where he's constantly having flashes and he's like, no, not today. Or, you know, I know that what's coming.
Right. So, yeah, I just...
It is a super enjoyable show, though. I'm really liking it.
Yeah, it's very fun to watch. You know, very well done. Like, I'm very, very excited about it. You know, we got 10 episodes. We got 7 more episodes, if you will. And then we do have the Orville coming back next week.
Oh, yeah.
What else is coming? We got the Orville's next week. We got Stranger Things this week. There's something else this week, I thought. Can't recall.
Not ringing any bells.
Yeah. But anyhow, I give this show a huge sell. If you haven't watched it yet, go get yourself some Paramount Plus and watch it.
Yes, I agree. I also give it a huge sell.
I did finish up that Lakers show, Winning Time, and I'm a huge fan.
Nice.
Plain and simple, I'm a huge fan.
That's awesome.
What else we got?
The only other one I've got listed on my call sheet is Young Rock.
Well, that's a fun show.
Sure is. I can't believe we've got a couple more episodes. Like, but we have 2 episodes. We've got Backyard Brawlbecue and Rocky's Code.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what did you think of these based on what you know and what they were portraying?
Again, the Backyard Brawlbecue, these matches didn't happen in Hawaii like they're being depicted. Like, yes, matches happen, but it wasn't with the caliber of talent they're showing us in the show. But they want us to see and know the wrestlers that were there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And if they used the actual wrestlers that were in Hawaii at the time, no one would know who they were, or the majority of people.
I was going to say would, but.
Right. But the casual fans see these cartoon character wrestlers from the 1980s and know exactly who they are. Oh, and that is a fun nostalgic trip for me as well. And I completely give it a pass because it's fun just seeing like, oh, there's Big John Studd. Clearly, you know what I mean? There's Andre, clearly. And yes, they did feud with each other, but not in Hawaii like it's depicted.
We got to see the birth of air quotes Bam Bam Bigelow.
That was awesome. And that guy playing Bam Bam Bigelow is really spot on.
It's almost scary.
That is pretty phenomenal. And he did go by the Crusher Rumanoff or whatever it was, and then changed his name to Bam Bam Bigelow when he went up to WWF. So that was completely accurate. And again, that guy playing Bam Bam, spot on. Like, sincerely spot on. But yeah.
What are your thoughts on the guy who plays Macho Man?
I mean, he does Macho's voice. He kind of looks like Macho. I mean, some of the stuff we're seeing, like, you know, him going to Sears to cut the ribbon to open the store probably happened. But him continuously going back and helping people there, like he worked there, quote unquote. And then they give him some Slim Jim and tell him to leave. Like, that's just, again, definitely didn't happen.
Creative license.
Yeah, a lot of creative license going on there. But again, I'm – I got – I gotta say, the cast, the crew, whatever, have done a great job finding these actors and actresses to play these characters and resemble them enough that it's like, yeah, it's believable.
Yeah. Awesome. So, I like it. Yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot more than I expected to. You know, I remember when it came on, I was like, eh, I'll watch an episode or two. And it's something that I look forward to every week now. We've got the last two episodes are airing tonight.
Yes, you got to
Get Down to Get Up, which is Memphis 1996, and then Let the People Decide, which is 1984 and 1987.
Yeah, I
interesting that the future part of this, where he's running for president, takes place in 2032. Isn't that when This Is Us wrapped up?
Yeah, actually, that is what's kind of ironic about that, because This Is Us is wrapping up in 2032.
God, if they do that, like if we see in this last episode that, you know, Dwayne Johnson becomes the president or something.
That would be funny.
I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty damn hilarious.
But yeah, I think that's it for shows for me.
Yeah, I don't have any other shows that my wife and I have been kind of half watching American Idol. We really couldn't get into it this season. I haven't watched the finale yet, but I know who won, and we both thought it was going to be somebody else.
Oh, gotcha.
It felt really rushed. Like the first few episodes felt kind of like a good steady pace. And then all of a sudden near the end, it was just like, in the past, they would have a night where they perform, and then the next night's the results show, and they have more singing vote people off. Uh-huh. This time it was like they perform, and they're voted off that night.
Oh, like, wow.
Live voting during the show, kicked off at the end of the show. And they were like, instead of one person a week, it was like three people every week.
Damn.
Yeah, they really – there was still a lot of episodes, but it's like they were drawn out at the beginning, and at the end they just rush. Like when it was all pre-taped. It was drawn out. And then when they started doing the live shows, I don't know if it's because of the COVID or whatever, they just rush. Let's get this done before we have a COVID outbreak. So.
That makes sense.
I watched a ton of movies.
I only watched two.
Okay. So I have like nine in here.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
But I mean, I also went through, you know, a couple seasons of shows. So
fair enough. Yeah, I got 10 movies.
Wow. Hit me. Yeah.
Well, I watched a couple of older movies. Addison wanted to watch the Scream movies, so we watched the first Scream together. She enjoyed it. She's looking forward to Scream 2. She has all the same questions that everyone has when they watch it. Why did the bad guys stab each other before they killed Sydney and her dad?
Did you tell her that that's what a psychopath is?
Yep. I kind of watched this movie on Hulu called Die in a Gunfight that I've been wanting to watch for a while, and it was terrible, and I just say don't watch it.
Okay.
I watched Spiral. Kanan and I kind of watched Spiral, the last Saw movie again.
Whatever.
We watched Days of Thunder, the 1990 Tom Cruise NASCAR movie.
How did that hold up?
It's awesome. It actually holds up very well. Like, it reminds you how good racing was back then when the cars were kind of different. And yeah, it was good. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I haven't seen it in forever.
Nice.
I watched The Gentleman, the Guy Ritchie film. It's on Netflix with Matthew McConaughey. It takes place in England. It's a weed dealers. It's a Guy Ritchie, you know, murder mystery gangster type movie, you will. Not really mystery, but yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I was a huge fan. I think you would like it. I mean, It's along the lines of the Guy Ritchie films that you like, you know, the Sherlock Holmes movie, Snatch, etc. So Man on Fire. Like it's worth it. It's definitely worth your time.
Okay.
Kate and I watched Lost City.
How'd that treat you?
I liked it a lot. We laughed. I thought it was really good. I don't have the urge to watch it again.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the one with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum and everything, and Brad Pitt's got a little bit of a part in it. But yeah, it's definitely it's a good flick. You'd enjoy it.
Nice. Yeah, it's on my list.
I finally watched Snake Eyes.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
That was like, hey, we got this really cool movie. It's like a revenge, samurai revenge type movie with ninjas and stuff. And, you know, it's got a decent story and everything. Like, what do you think? Let me read it. Any way we could shoehorn G.I. Joe in this somehow? And they were like, nah, I mean, I guess we can. That's what that was to me.
So it basically would have been a good ninja movie, except for that they had to try to tie it to that.
Yeah, like if you take all the G.I. Joe elements out of it and you just like kind of change the characters' names to whatever it would be, or even just leave them what they are, but you took all the G.I. Joe elements out of it, it's a decent flick.
Okay.
But then trying to shoehorn G.I. Joe into it and like going, wait a second, Snake Eyes wasn't a bad guy. This isn't Snake Eyes' backstory. They're completely changing his backstory, making him kind of like a shitty guy before, which that was never the case. So that's kind of was when my problem with it.
Gotcha.
I watched the new Firestarter movie.
Oh, how was it?
I would have been pissed if I would have paid money to see this at the theater.
Oh, really?
It did not have that theatrical feel to it. It was a TV movie of the week.
Ah, I was worried about that.
Even the cast, I mean, other than Zac Efron, there was nobody known in the cast that had a major role in it. Yeah, so to me, this is just a glorified movie of the week.
Ugh.
It actually honestly felt like part one of a Stephen King miniseries.
Oh, wow.
Like, it got over, and it's like, all right, they're definitely going to do a sequel. but yeah, it was. And then the last two are two documentaries that we watched. Then I have. One is called Our Father.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, it's the one on Netflix about the fertility doctor that used his own semen to impregnate women.
How was it?
It's good.
Nice.
It's good. It makes you go, wow, wow, what a piece of crap. Wow.
Awesome.
You know, I mean, again, this was late 70s, early 80s when he was doing this, so there's no way, and I'm not justifying his actions, but like, there's no way of knowing back then that, you know, 30 years from now, almost 40 years from now, there's this thing called 23andMe coming out where people get at-home DNA tests.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? Like, I would have gotten away from it. Would have gotten away from it. It wasn't for you meddling kids, you know? Would have gotten away from
DNA
it.
DNA test.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the kind of evil henchman he was, if you will. but yeah, it's worth your time.
I'm and excited then, about that one. I think I know what the other documentary was. Was it a two-parter?
No, because it didn't debut until Friday.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't watch it Friday because of Wesley. And then we were watching other movies. Like and then Saturday I went to the wrestling. And then Sunday, and then Saturday night I got called on the way home at like 11:40. From someone at my work saying they got home and took a COVID test and it was positive. So I had to go into the office and open up the backup center, move everybody over there. They had to bring the people into deep clean. And then I had to move everyone back to our center and close down the backup center and this and that. So I didn't get leave there until like 5 a.m. So my Sunday was kind of shot.
Yep.
And then Sunday,
I didn't watch it either, just so you know.
I do want to watch it. Like, I'm super pumped to watch it. So I'm actually going to try to get it in this week.
I think, honestly, saying I do want to watch it is an understatement.
Yes.
We must watch it. Like, this is one of those things that must be watched.
Yes, I have to watch this.
Yes.
I am making it my own requirement to watch this.
Absolutely.
But the other documentary I watched was on HBO Max. It's called Tony Hawk Until the Wheels Come Off.
And oh, wow.
It is phenomenal. I love it. Like, really getting a deep dive into Tony Hawk, his life growing up as a skater, being in the skateboarding industry, if you will, in the 80s like he was through the 90s and the ups and downs of it. And then the X Games coming out and everything. And just like, excuse me. And then a deep dive into what his personal life was like and everything. Like, I really enjoyed the hell out of this.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
What were your movies?
Well, I realized I have to talk about one that I didn't watch this last week, but I watched it a while ago and never talked about it. Death on the Nile.
Oh, I watched that movie quite a while ago.
It was good.
Yep.
It was, I don't know, Murder on the Orient Express, I think was a little better. But this one, you know, I kind of had it figured out about halfway through. I didn't have all the specific pieces, like the paint being used on the leg, but I knew what was going on. So that was very enjoyable. I watched on Netflix The Bubble, which is the one that is the Judd Apatow.
That is one I do want to watch, or at least I kind of want to watch it. Do I want to watch it?
No.
Okay. Wow. Really?
No. It's okay at best. Like, it's a lot of one of the things that they talk about in this movie is how, you know, some of the actors are like, this is inhumane. You're treating us terribly. And people are like, nobody fucking cares. You're actors. You make millions of dollars. No, you know, they're dying out there and you're sad because you have to work extra hours. So it kind of felt like that was the whole point. That was the whole like message here. Yes, there was a lot about COVID and everything, and it was a comedy, but I don't know. I didn't enjoy it that much. Like, I forced myself through most of it, and at the end I was like, okay, well, now I've seen that. I don't have to go and see it again. So I can't give it a sell, honestly.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just push that down the list then, or remove it.
If you ever do watch it, let me know what you think. But yeah, I was not a fan. But the other one was one night I was like, I'm going to throw on a movie. And do you want to see this or this? And Julia's like, I don't care. I'm not going to watch it. She's like, I'm going to read my book and I'm just going to like go to bed. I'm not feeling good. I was like, all right. So I put on Scream, the new one.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. By the end, she was sitting up, leaning forward. And she's like, I said I wasn't going to get into this, but this is great. It was a great movie.
Yeah, it really was.
They did a good job of bringing characters back of it. They dance such a fine line because they've got these fake movies inside that universe called Stab, but the Stab movies are the Scream movies.
Yes. And
so it's like, it's not well, really the fourth Stab breaking.
The Stab movies. They're not the Scream movies, if you will, but the Stab movies are the, I mean,
they're fake movies based on what happened in the Scream movies.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That is the best way to describe it. Yes. Yeah,
so they basically,
fake movies based on what happened in, you know, with their premise being it's based on what happened in the Scream flicks. Yes.
Yeah. So according to this, the Scream movies that we all watched as movies actually happened. That was real life. All of that took place as a real thing. Then somebody made movies about that called Stab. And, It was fun to watch. Again, I kind of had it figured out. I don't want to spoil it because it is fun. You know, I know it's been out for a while, but it's still definitely one of those that like people should watch. They should check it out.
Yeah, I genuinely enjoyed the hell out of it. I really, really did.
Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, I am.
I will say, though, the last maybe 15, 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Really turned into a Mary Sue kind of thing. Like, everything worked out well, and everything kind of went a little off the rails and a little ridiculous. You've got people who are getting shot in the gut. You had somebody who was literally stabbed in the gut, and the knife was twisted fully around. And they're still walking around, not getting medical attention while everybody else is getting medical attention. They're just walking around like a normal person, like dum-de-dum-de-dum.
Yep.
It was highly unrealistic at that point. So that kind of knocked it down a notch for me, but it was still really enjoyable, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
Very fun, very nostalgic.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love some of the characters that they brought back, and they were like, you know, oh, I was the, you know, I'm the sheriff now. I was the deputy, and you go back and you look, yep, Scream 3, she was the deputy.
Yep.
So, fun stuff.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job with it.
Yep. That's it for me for movies.
All right, trailers and news and such.
I think I got back to the beginning of our trailers list, which was Resident Evil on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Looks good.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it. That's
You mentioned that the Orville New Horizons comes on next week.
Yep.
Definitely looking forward to that. You sent me Carpool Karaoke on Apple TV.
Yeah, that was rather interesting, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not just James Gordon as the host, there's a bunch of different people.
Yep.
And there's some AEW wrestlers in this, a couple episodes, it looks like.
That's kind of interesting.
What did you think of that Top Gun Maverick Screen X?
Nope.
Yeah, that's too much, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Three screens around you kind of type of thing, like a 180 type thing. Like it looks like a little too much to me.
Like for me, we've said this since the beginning. You're really interested in Maverick. I am not interested in it at all.
So, I didn't mean so much the movie. I meant the concept of the three screens.
And that's what I was going to say is like, I already wasn't interested in the movie, but the concept of the three screens, like I have two monitors going right now on my computer. You know, I've had three before, but to spread something across all of them, that's just too much. Mm-hmm. I don't need that unless I'm going to be in VR. If you want to put me in a VR headset, sure.
It doesn't feel immersive.
No, it feels gimmicky.
Yeah. I sent you this. This is unrelated, but apparently they have they've made a board game version of the hit Netflix series The Queen's Gambit. So it's just chess, right?
Like it's gotta be. Like what else is it? You know, like, do you try to score pills? Like,
I mean, it's got to be just chess. Like, I didn't look inside it, but I mean, like, to me, that's kind of, it can't be anything else.
Right.
There's a bunch of Doctor Who news you shared, like David Tennant and Catherine Tate returning for Doctor Who in 2023.
Which they've actually got set photos. Like, it's legitimately them. It's part of the 60th anniversary. So this isn't one of those like, oh, they're coming back in a radio show or anything. They are here.
Yep. And also, and I'm jumping way ahead based on the stuff, but like Doctor Who officially confirms the fugitive Doctor was the first Doctor.
Uh-huh.
And that's who is also the timeless child.
Yes.
But like none of the other Doctors have any memory of being her.
And that there were countless other regenerations in between there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that really rewrites the mythos quite a bit.
Right, because this actually says that the Doctor is not a Time Lord, but something that the Time Lords found and then based their own genetic blueprint off of. Yeah.
And not dissected, but
Yeah, and that's where they came up with the power of regeneration was based on the cellular structure of this little guy.
Yeah, or splice the Doctor's DNA into themselves.
Yep.
Which is why they can only regenerate a finite amount of time.
Right.
And the Doctor can regenerate apparently an infinite number of times.
Yep.
I sent you the teaser trailer for Prey, the new Predator movie that's going to be on Hulu this fall.
Yep.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
I will watch the hell out of it. I enjoy Predator. I enjoy the Predator movies.
Yes.
I'm excited for this concept here. The Boys season 3 trailer.
Whew.
That's a show I'm going to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jensen Ackles looking damn good as Soldier Boy.
Yeah, you know this is going to be violent. You know this is going to be just kind of out there crazy.
Huey's in a suit because he's now working for the agency there.
Vought.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. No, it definitely looks really good. They're definitely straying from the comic storyline, though.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were point, last season as well, but yeah. What'd you think of Spiderhead?
Fucking love the looks of it.
Yeah, that looks really, really, really good.
Basically, it's a prison where the prisoners, it's like low security, and the prisoners are like treated. They get to have some of their freedom in exchange for allowing experiments to be done on them, and it seems to be experiments where they inject them with, I don't even know what it is, like are they triggering happiness, anger, like it looks really interesting.
Yeah, it does. Chris Hemsworth's in it. Thor's in it.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I sent you the trailer. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying Miles Teller is the other one that's in there.
I sent you the trailer for She-Hulk.
Yep.
I'll watch it.
I will as well. On it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's the other one.
Are not liking it, but
this week, Obi-Wan Kenobi starts in 3 days.
Yes, that's the one.
That's the other one, yeah. Yeah, no, fanboys really aren't liking the looks of this at all.
Nope. Nope. But they're also not liking the looks of Ms. Marvel. So.
Yeah. Well, see, my problem with Ms. Marvel again was it's a teenager.
Yeah.
Or a tween or teen or whatever. And but I guess I get it. In the comic books, once she became She-Hulk, she never transitioned back to like Bruce does. You know what I mean?
She didn't have to, yeah.
Yeah, and in the we see her transitioning in the show back and forth, and I guess you know that is a pretty significant change.
Apparently, there's a group of toxic boys out there who are starting to call this the MCU because there's so many females now.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. My only problem with Ms. Marvel so far is just that they changed her powers. And it sounds like they really thought it out well, and they're going to do it justice. So I'm here for it. I'm here to check it out. I'm going to go into it with a level head. They basically didn't want to – well, for one thing, in the comics, she was an Inhuman, which they kind of haven't really tied the Inhumans in.
Well
– I mean, we got Black Bolt, but like the TV series has kind of been shoved to the side. So
correct, yeah.
And her power was stretching and making herself bigger and elongating her body. And they said that they kind of didn't want to do that without Reed Richards around, because Reed Richards is that. Like, that was always his thing. So I get it.
I get it, yeah. You sent me the trailer to Bros.
Looks pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it really, really does. Like, unexpectedly so. Looks really, really good. I'm absolutely going to watch it.
Normally, I find Billy Eichner like really over the top, in your face, kind of annoying. But
yeah, that's exactly who he is.
Yeah, and this actually looks really good.
Umbrella Academy season 3. Yep, I'm gonna watch that.
Oh fuck yeah!
That looks good. Matt Murdock is evidently coming back as a new Daredevil series is in the works for Disney Plus, with what's his face coming back to play Daredevil. The actor,
Charlie,
I can't think of his name, Charlie Cox. Yeah, so that's pretty damn cool.
I'll be interested to see if they acknowledge the stuff from before or if they reboot it.
I think they have to, because they put it on there.
Yeah,
you know, it's on Disney Plus now.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Winchesters trailer?
I will check it out. I'm still not 100% like on board with it, but it didn't look as bad as I expected it.
It really feels like they're rewriting the entire history of Mary and John.
Based, oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just not acknowledging the series, and they're starting their own mythos, which is might be a little annoying and hateful to people, especially the diehards.
Well, the thing is, like, there were several episodes where they literally went back in time and saw what they were doing. They were like, oh, hey, look, this is our parents when they first met. This is our parents when they were on their first hunt.
Exactly.
And now, yeah, it seems like they're going to rewrite that to make it like a tween drama. So.
Yeah. I'll watch at least the first one.
Yeah.
So they released the trailer for Mission Impossible Reckoning, Dead Reckoning Part 1, which comes out July of 2023.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I love the fact that we got this full on trailer. It's like 3-4 minutes long. We get to see stars from all the other Mission Impossible movies, like even so far as to go back to the original Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And yet the only actor's name that got put in the credits was Tom Cruise. Like nobody else got a name in the credits. I'm like, you fucking egotist.
No one else matters.
Nope. He's such a dick.
Duel looks really cool.
Yeah. Kelly sent me that one, and I was like, oh, okay, Karen Gillan. Oh, damn.
Yeah, like, if those of you haven't seen it, it's basically the story is it's sometime in the future, and if, like, she's going to die. She's given a medical, like, death sentence, like cancer, whatever it is. And so what you can do is make a clone of yourself to take over your life when you die, so you still exist. Except what happens is that she is told that, oh, no, you're in remission, you're going to live. And they've already cloned her. And so instead of
apparently it happens enough that
yeah. So there's rules where like 1 year from today, you'll have a duel to the death because we can't have two of you out there. And the rest of the trailer is basically her training and how much she hates her duel, her doppelganger, her clone or whatever.
But the fun thing is, we don't know as we're watching the training which one of them we're watching. Are we watching the original or are we watching the clone?
Right. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
I'm sure that there'll be a lot of philosophical conundrums in there because it'll be you know, is she less of a person because she's a clone? Like, she has all of your memories, all of your everything. Like, you both have a right to this life. And
right.
Yeah. Looks good.
New series, TV series, The Terminal List on Amazon Prime with Chris Pratt. That looks really good.
Yeah. Do you know what it's about?
Not really.
Me either.
It's like he's a SEAL that goes on a mission and everyone dies except him. And there's some sort of conspiracy.
Yep. That pretty much sums it up.
Yep. You sent the new Thor Love and Thunder trailer, which is so much better than the other trailer that they released. Mm-hmm. This trailer makes it look tremendously better.
Yes. Because the other one was a teaser, in fairness.
Yeah.
And this one is an actual trailer, which means that they got to put more stuff in it. Like, we actually get some backstory. We got to see Christian Bale's Gore the God Butcher. And he's looking pretty badass.
Mm-hmm. And we got to see a lot more as Jane as Thor.
Yes.
But we don't know how she became Thor. We just know she is.
Correct.
She has the... Huh? And she has the put together
Mew.
Yeah, thank you, Mew or whatever. But Thor still has his new one that they made, the axe one.
Yes, yeah, Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker, thank you. And then you sent the trailer to The Gray Man, which is Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans, and it's directed by the Russo brothers, and it's coming out on Netflix, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. Ana de Armas, and
yeah,
the fourth star in this is Chris Evans's mustache, because what the fuck? I'm glad they even pointed that out in the trailer. He's like, yeah, that mustache just screams you.
Yeah. So yeah, no, and I love how they, you know, from the Russo brothers, director of us, like Captain America, Winter Soldier, Civil War, and then Avengers, Infinity War, Endgame.
Uh-huh.
They've done some great stuff.
In other words, they're like, so we know Chris Evans.
Yeah, basically. We know Chris Evans in action movies, but instead of being the Imperial good guy, he's going to be the complete opposite.
Uh-huh.
So, no, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be real good. So, but you got any news?
Got a couple of other news items that I came across. Mm-hmm. HBO Max gave us a glimpse at the animated series Gremlins Secrets of the Mogwai.
Oh, yeah.
They announced some of the voices. James Hong will be playing Grandpa. I can't believe he's still alive.
Yeah.
Ming-Na Wen will be Fong Wing, B.D. Wong as Han Wing, and then Isaac Wang as Sam Wing.
James Hong is 93.
Wow. So basically, it's in the animated television update, we travel back to 1920 Shanghai to reveal the story of how 10-year-old Sam Wing, future shop owner Mr. Wing in the 1984 movie, met the young Mogwai called Gizmo. Along with a teenage street thief named L, Sam and Gizmo take a perilous journey through the Chinese countryside, encountering and sometimes battling colorful monsters and spirits from Chinese folklore. On their quest to return Gizmo to his family and uncover a legendary treasure, they are pursued by a power-hungry industrialist and his growing army of evil gremlins. This sounds awful. Like, I love the actors, and I have to believe that they're going to tell a good story, but it just sounds, it's what, 35 years later? Yeah, 35 years later.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I'm so upset. I don't really want to, but I'll probably check out at least the first episode.
Yep, same.
There's a new season of Black Mirror coming.
Oh, really?
Yep. they've begun the casting, and they said that season 6 will reportedly have more episodes than season 5, which is fine because season 5 had 3. So, yep.
Oh, nice. That, all right.
That'll be good.
That's cool. Yeah.
And Fox ordered a second season of Crime Scene Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited about that. I love that show. It was good.
We watched a couple episodes. So,
I'm looking forward to that.
Nice.
I think other than that, that's all the news that I had.
All right. Well, if you don't have any news and I don't have any more news and we don't have any trailers to talk about, I guess that's that.
Look at that. We got you done 15 minutes in advance so you can pop some corn and
pretty much
go drop a deuce if you got to. And
I already did.
Nice.
Before.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That is our show.
We'll talk to you next week, hopefully.
Yes.